several of the songs that we sang this morning as a choir and as a congregation reflect the themes of Luke chapter 2, especially in verses 8 through 20, where we see the coming together of angelic beings and lowly shepherds. And I want to take just a few minutes with you to reflect on those verses this morning, angels and shepherds from Luke chapter 2. And I invite you to follow as I read from verses 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank you this season for the gift of grace. Grace is your undeserved, unmerited favor given to us freely out of your own sovereign, loving goodness to undeserving sinners such as us. We thank you for your grace expressed in the giving of Christ, this little baby born in Bethlehem who is our Savior, our King, our Lord. Father, I pray that as we meet these verses, meet your word in this text, that, Lord, you would speak to us again from this very familiar story. May your Spirit do his work, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In these verses that we read, a passage of Scripture that is very familiar to us, one for which probably many of us could quote most of it. I know that when I was in second grade, I went to a Christian school and we memorized Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20 that Christmas season as seven-year-olds. And probably many of you in your early Sunday school days or in junior church days read and memorized this story. We know it very well. Even Charlie Brown recites it for us every year, right? We know this story very well. But what does this story teach us about? It teaches us about the grace of God. It teaches us about God's grace to undeserving, lowly sinners. And it's exemplified for us in the fact that God's grace is revealed to ordinary, lowly people. It's astounding that angels, the most powerful created beings in all of the universe, would come at God's bidding and reveal themselves and reveal God's glorious message to normal, everyday shepherds on a hillside outside of Bethlehem. One night, just doing their normal, ordinary, day-by-day routine, caring for dirty, smelly sheep, the glory of God was revealed. It's an astounding thing, isn't it? Out of the middle of nowhere, into the darkness of the night sky, the glory of God was revealed. And it was revealed to ordinary, lowly people to remind us that God's grace does not come just to kings, just to those who are rich, just to those who are noble, just to those who are influential, but oftentimes, more than not, God's grace comes to people like this. That's why Paul writes in Corinthians, "Not many of you who are noble, not many of you who are rich, not many of you who are wise by worldly standards were called by the grace of God." God's grace has come to the lowly, and these shepherds are examples of that. In the pronouncement of these angels, we see also that God's grace dispels fear and brings joy. God's grace dispels fear and brings joy. You can imagine the sight where shepherds, out of nowhere, these angels appear, and their reaction would be just like our reaction, and that is to quiver in fear. Every time in the Bible where you see angels appearing, the response is not, "Oh, how cute, these little angels," right? What is the response in Scripture? It's always fear. Whenever you see these imposing beings appearing out of nowhere, it is fear. It is trembling before the majesty of even a created holy being of God. But in the midst of that fear, God pronounces a blessing. He says, "Don't fear. Don't be afraid." That's what grace does to us. Grace takes people who should be afraid, and it makes them no longer afraid. Isn't that an amazing thing? Amen. We as sinners have every right, and we should be afraid of the judgment, the holy, righteous justice of God, the judgment that says those who do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, they will face the wrath of God. As the scriptures say, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And yet here, God, that holy, righteous, imposing, infinite being, communicating his message through these angels, says to them, "Don't fear. Don't be afraid." And it reminds us that when God's grace comes into our lives, God's grace reaches our hearts, opens our eyes to believe the glorious message of the gospel, that God sent Jesus to save us from our sins, that when God's grace opens our eyes to see that and we believe, our fear changes into joy. And that's why John, in his letter, 1 John, says, "Perfect love casts out fear." We don't have to fear the condemnation of God anymore. Romans 8, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." We no longer have to be afraid because joy has come in the grace of God. God's grace dispels fear and brings joy. We also see in this passage that God's grace is worked out. It is accomplished through historical events that happen in real time and real space. This is something that separates the Christian faith from every other religion in the world, and that is that our faith is anchored to actual historical events that happened in time and space. God rescued the Israelites out of Egypt. He caused them to cross over the Red Sea on dry ground. That is an event that happened on a day, on a calendar, on a piece of ground, on this world. On a day on the calendar, in a place just outside of Bethlehem, angels appeared to shepherds who are watching sheep. On a day in history, in Bethlehem, the Savior Christ was born. Amen. And Luke reminds us that this redemptive act happens in the context of history because he opens this passage by telling us, "In the days of Caesar Augustus, there came a decree that the whole Roman world should have a census taken." And he says this happened while Quirinius was governor of Syria. In other words, here's the time frame, here's the ruler, here's the dates on the calendar, here's when this happened, and Jesus was born. Jesus is a real man, the Son of God, who became enfleshed and dwelt among us in a real place, in a real time in history. And God's grace is worked out through those events. We see in this passage also that God's grace comes in most unexpected ways. God's grace comes in most unexpected ways when angels just appear out of nowhere. That's pretty unexpected, isn't it? God's grace comes in unexpected ways, like taking a little peasant girl that nobody knew, who had nothing, and came from one of the most disreputed villages in Galilee. God took her and said, "I'm going to make you the mother of the Messiah, the one that I've been promising for hundreds of years." That's pretty unordinary. That's pretty unexpected. God appears to shepherds in the middle of the night and says, I am proclaiming to you that now all of the prophets, all of their messages are now fulfilled. The Messiah has come. God's grace comes in unexpected, surprising ways. God's grace is announced with the highest fanfare. God's grace is announced as the good news, that the world-changing news that it is. In verses 13 and 14, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, and they were praising God and saying, can you imagine seeing one angel and hearing one angel describe the message of God to you? How about the whole heavens being full of the angels of God, announcing in unison as a chorus, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. God's grace is announced with great fanfare and praise. We see also in this passage that God's grace glorifies himself and brings us peace. God's grace glorifies himself and brings us peace. In this most famous of verses from this passage, in verse 14, it says, glory to God in the highest heaven. Glory to God, the God who is glorious, the God who is the creator of the universe, the one for whom you cannot add any more glory to him than he already has. Now, angels and shepherds and the whole world is called to praise and say, glory be to God in the highest heaven. I. Howard Marshall, in his commentary on Luke, says this, men and angels glorify God by recognizing that he already possesses glory and worshiping him for it. In this sense, they increase his glory. By recognizing that he already has glory, and they're worshiping him for it, they're ascribing to God the glory that is his. Thus, they glorify him. They're praising God. It brings glory to God. In the working out of his grace, it brings him glory. What does Paul write in Ephesians chapter 1? When he talks about the redemption that Jesus Christ brought, he says all of this is happening to the praise of his glorious grace, that God might be glorified. It brings glory to God, but it brings peace to us. Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, to us earth dwellers, to us normal human beings living in this world, comes the peace of God. On earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. And I want to quote I. Howard Marshall again. He says, if the glory of God in heaven is revealed in the coming of his Son, the effect for man on earth is summed up in this word, peace. Here, however, more than the cessation of strife is meant. In other words, not just the cessation of hostilities, calling an end to war. Here he says the word is used to indicate the full sum of the blessings associated with the coming of the Messiah. In other words, this is a new age. A new age has dawned. The full shalom, the full peace of God is coming on men. He brings a new situation of peace between God and men in which his blessings can be communicated to them, he says. This is a new thing that God is doing in the world. This is the culmination of history. God is glorified and he brings peace to us. And God's peace comes to those on whom his favor rests. What does this mean? It means that God is God. That God is sovereign in the dispensing of his grace and his mercy. One more quote from I. Howard Marshall. He says, the phrase means those upon whom God's will, his favor rests, and it expresses the thought of God's free choice of those whom he wills to favor and save. God's grace comes to those whom he wills. It is the glory of God revealed to man. It is the grace of God revealed to man. It is the grace of God that brings peace to us. God's grace glorifies himself and brings peace to us. And lastly, I want to just share with us that our part in this, our part in this is not only praise, not only glory, not only thankfulness for the grace of God, but also that we would respond as the shepherds did. And that is that God's grace should be proclaimed by all who receive it. God's grace should be proclaimed by all who have received it. And so in verses 17 and 18 and 20, it says that when the shepherds had seen him, had seen the Christ, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So let me ask you a question. Are you a beneficiary of the grace of God? The glorious grace of God that brings peace to men on whom his favor rests. Have you received the favor of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God that you have not deserved? If so, then it ought to be proclaimed from the mountaintops by all who have received his grace. In joy, in praise, spreading abroad the news that had been told to them, the things that they had seen and heard. Has God's grace affected your life? Has God's grace changed you and transformed you, transferred you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light? If so, then you need to speak of these things and proclaim to all who will hear that God's grace has come and his peace has come to us earth dwellers in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so may we be thankful and grateful for the grace of God. May we praise God for his grace, and may we proclaim it as often and as loudly as we can, because God has been good to us. Let's bow in prayer together. Our Father, you are the God of grace, the God of glory. You have given us the Lord Jesus, your precious Son from heaven, the eternal God, the second person of the Trinity, the Word who was in the beginning with you, the Word who is God, the Word made flesh and came and dwelt among us, the Word who came to reveal to us your glory, to declare to us who you are in all of your righteous character. Thank you for sending us the Lord Jesus. Thank you that he came to set us free. Thank you that he came to save us and to deliver us from the bondage of our sin and its penalty. Thank you that Jesus came to save us and to make us holy. Thank you that Jesus has come to bring us peace, the full peace of God with men. Lord, I pray today that if there's one here who has not yet come to see that Jesus is the Christ, their Savior, that, Lord, you would open their eyes, that you would enliven their hearts, awaken them to see your grace. And, Lord, may they experience your peace. May they experience your joy. And may they no longer fear, because now they are in a state of no condemnation, no reason to fear, because you have delivered them. Lord, I pray that you would open blind eyes today. For those of us who have experienced your grace, God, awaken our hearts to sing, to speak of your grace, to spread the news far and wide, because, Lord, you are glorious and worthy of our praise. Lord, bless us today as your people. Not only this season, as we celebrate the birth of Christ, but every season, Lord, may you be praised through our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.